good to be here this morning. Glad that you're here. I do have one beef with Brother Young's introduction that he said that John Wilkerson was more popular than I am. I just have a problem with that. No, I'm teasing. He thinks he is. But anyway, it's good to have all the freshmen here. I would have you stand, but I can to see who you are, but I can kind of tell who you are because you're the ones with the scared look on your face. Or it looks like you've been crying a lot. And I'm not teasing you when I say that because I was that person. When I was in college, I was as homesick as I could be. But I'm glad I stayed. I'm glad I finished. And it's so good to have you here. I do need to give a shout out to all the City Baptist kids. If you're a graduate of City Baptist, I'd like to see who you are, where you're at. Won't you stand? All the City Baptist graduates, would you stand for me? All the City Baptist graduates, all of them, all you guys. Yeah, why are you guys all in the back? I don't know. It's so good to have you guys here. And, of course, I've got three here from my bus route. I've got the twins back there in the corner, and then Frankie is from my bus route. And Miguel is not from my bus route, but he lives on my bus route, so I count him, too. But so good to see you guys here. And I call them my twins because I've supported them for the last 8 years of their life. And now you guys are in college, you're on your own. You probably kind of figured that out by now, but so glad you guys are here. And all of you that are in college, so glad. We had a great week, great start to City Baptist. A year ago, we started with about 200 kids the first week. And that was before everybody came back to college. So far this week, we have 250 students that are enrolled at City Baptist, so we're very, very, very excited about that. Just a couple of announcements. Tomorrow morning, the bus meeting will be held at City Baptist School at 9:30. And for the ladies, your bus will leave at 8:45 sharp. It'll leave from the student parking lot. We'll take you to City Baptist for the bus meeting, and it will not stop on the way. And so just keep that in mind. Then ladies can ride night bus Sunday night, and that means the guys will be riding, and so we're glad about that, but that's on Sunday night. Ladies do not need to fill out a pass for the division activity this Saturday or for the night bus, and that comes from Brother King's office. I'd like for you to stand, if you would. Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse number 9, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 9. I told Brother Young before we walked out here that it kind of puzzles me that every time I come to chapel, I'm just as nervous as I was the very first time I preached. And that was probably 30 years ago, the first time I stepped behind this pulpit. And I'm not sure exactly why. I think, you know, obviously there's a lot of emotion because this is where God changed my life. And I want God to do the same for you. But then I also realize the potential. I think the devil is very angry to see this many students, this many young people, this many young men, young ladies that are here at Howells Anderson that in some way or another have showed, expressed a desire to serve God. And he doesn't like it because he knows you're going to win people to Christ. He knows you're going to change lives. He knows you're going to start churches and be missionaries. And I just warn you, he's going to do everything he can to keep you from that goal. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from that end. And just the potential that's in this room, I never take this opportunity lightly. It's a great opportunity to preach in chapel at Howells Anderson. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. I want you to put your finger there, and then I want you to turn to another passage, Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And if you would, just put your finger there, and then I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we're going to look at three different verses here in the Bible. And if you would just hold your place in those three different passages there in your Bible, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. This morning, if I can, I want to talk about one of the attributes of God that I appreciate the most. And of course, it's hard to prioritize or even put in a list those attributes. Because when you think about God and you think about who He is and you think about all the characteristics and all the attributes of God, all of them are at the top of the list. They're all number one. When you think about God's love, I mean, what is greater than the love of God? You think about the fact that God is merciful. And thank God for His mercy. And we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the mercy of God. Think of His patience. Well, I don't know about you, but God has been very patient with me. Well, I've made so many mistakes and goofed up so many times, but every time I go to God, He's so patient. I think about God's forgiveness. I think about God's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. There's nothing that God cannot do. I think about God's omniscience. He knows everything. He knows my past. He knows my present. He knows my future. God knows everything. I think about God's omniscience or omnipresence. He's everywhere. He's with me everywhere I go. And what a wonderful attribute of God. And in all of these, we could put at the top of the list, and we could say, that's the one. That's the one that I love about God the most. But then you bring up another one, and no, it's that one. I love that the most about God. I think about His graciousness. I think about His kindness. I think about His holiness. But I have to put on this list, and for me, at least this morning, at least for this message, I want to talk about God's faithfulness. Because God is a faithful God. I want you to look at with me Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 9. If you would, read this out loud with me. We'll read this together. Ready? Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. And then Lamentations chapter 3. Read with me verses 22 and 23. Ready on verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse number 3, let's read this together. Ready? But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. I want to talk this morning about this word, this attribute of God, God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. And let's pray. Father, I pray that You would please meet with us this morning. Lord, I pray that You would help us to not just hear with our ears the message, but listen with our hearts. I pray You'd use what's said to help us make it through this day and this week and this month and this year. And for decades to come, may we rest on the faithfulness of God. Pray You'd help us today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The word faithful means true to one's word, steady in allegiance, reliable, trusted, dependable, and genuine. God is not careless. God is not irresponsible. God is not negligent. God is not wavering. God is not inconsistent. God is not unstable. God is faithful. God is faithful. And because God is faithful, He can be trusted. Because God is a faithful God, I can trust Him. I can trust Him to take care of me. I can trust him to meet my needs. Whether my needs are physical, whether my needs are financial, whether my needs are emotional or spiritual, I can depend and have faith in God that he will meet my needs because God can be trusted. I love the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Pull your hymn book out, if you would, just for a minute. Turn to page 177. We're not going to sing the verses, but I want you to read with me because this is a great hymn. Page 177, and I want you to read. We're going to read this out loud. Read with me just the first verse. Ready? Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. What a great song. Let's read the third verse out loud together. Ready? Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Let's read the chorus. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. If I was John Wilkerson, I'd break out in the song. No, I'm not going to do that. What a great song that tells us and reminds us of the faithfulness of God. I think about some examples in the Bible. I think about Elijah, and if you don't mind, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'll read these verses. Verse number 10, it says, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And then verse 14, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Of course, we know the story after the showdown with that Elijah had with the 450 prophets of Baal and them being defeated on Mount Carmel. Wicked Jezebel is very angry and she is now seeking to kill Elijah. And Elijah is feeling very much alone. But his faith does not waver because his faith is in God. And if I could tell you, young people today, there's going to be times in your life where you feel very much alone, very much by yourself. Some of you new students, this has been a very perhaps challenging experience for you coming to Bible college. Some of you have come from afar, some maybe not so far, but the whole experience of coming to college, some of you have changed your life verse to when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And you watched your parents drive away and your heart kind of sunk in your stomach. And it was like, I cannot believe that my mom and dad are driving away and leaving me here with these weird roommates that don't speak English because they're from North Carolina or they're from some other place around the country. One of my wife's roommates, when she was in college, introduced herself and said, my name is Crease. And all year long, my wife called her Crease because and she thought it was like Crease, like a crease in a pair of pants. She didn't find out later that her name was Chris. But the way she would pronounce it, she just didn't understand what she was saying. And some of you are feeling very much alone. Some of you returning students, you left in May with a lot of your friends, and you looked around and not everybody came back. Not all your roommates came back to college. I remember that was a little bit of a shocker for me when I came to college here and I came back the second year, and it's like, where did all my friends go? Where did all the others go? Where did some of my roommates go? And it was like, now I'm kind of doing this alone. I'm kind of by myself now. And there's going to be times in your life when you are feeling very much alone, feeling very much like you're having to navigate life and go through this journey by yourself. But I'm going to tell you something. A great lesson that I learned at Hal's Anderson is that I was not doing this by myself. God is with me. God is with me. And it was those moments of my life when I felt very much alone the most, is when I would get alone with God and realize at that time that this is what God had called me to do. And there were guys and that I went to high school with, and they're back home, and they're doing their thing, and they're going to their college, and they're going to their jobs, and they're making their money. But that's not what God called me to do. God called me to preach, and God called me to come to Hal's Anderson and to do something for God. And even though I felt very much alone, I had to find that secret place alone with God, and I had to learn to trust Him. I had to learn to trust Him alone. I think about Job, and turn your Bibles to Job, if you would. Job chapter 1. Verse 21, it says, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And verse 22, and all this Job sinned not, nor charge God foolishly. No one has faced more challenges and obstacles than Job, losing his family, losing his wealth, losing his health, but he remained faithful. Why? Because God is faithful. And let me just say this at the onset of this school year, there will be testing this year. There will be trials this year. There will be obstacles this year. I don't know if I've ever known a student who just kind of flew through college without some trial, without some obstacle, without an exit point, without a turnoff place, where many times where we could have gotten off the road, we could have gotten off the path. I don't know of a student that's their testimony. And you will face difficult times, and there will be hardships. It might come in the form of bad news from home. It might be financial stress. It might be balancing a busy schedule. It might be a breakup, boyfriend, girlfriend breaking up, and sometimes that can be very challenging. I don't know what's in store for you, but I do know this. God is faithful. God is faithful, and God can be trusted. And when you face that hardship, when you face that obstacle, when you face that difficulty, remember this: God is faithful, and He can be trusted. Those trials that you face while you're in college, I can tell you this, it's to prepare you for something down the road. When I look back at my days at college, when I look back at my dorm days, living on Rice 3 and living in the dorms with other men, and we're all here for the same purpose, the same reason, and I think about all the challenges that I went through in Bible college, wanting to quit, wanting to give up, wanting to go home, thinking to myself, this is too hard. And look back on those days, and I realize, yes, they were big problems, and they had to be dealt with, but they were preparing me for something so much bigger and so much greater. I think of a friend of mine who I lived in the dorms with, Brother Joe Vasek. Brother Joe and I worked on the same bus route together, and many times we would sit and talk and just share some of the challenges that we were going through personally, going through college and just trying to figure things out. whether it be spiritually or maybe financially or just trying to figure things out. And we would share and pray with each other. And you know, we both finished college, and he left and he went to Connecticut. Actually went to New York first to start a church and then crossed the border into Connecticut. And for many, many years, been a faithful pastor in Danbury, Connecticut. Just a few years ago, he stepped on a shell of some sort on the coast of the ocean. He got an infection in his foot. As a result of that, they had to remove part of his foot, and then later had to remove his whole foot, and he's an amputee now. But yet he's a faithful pastor who loves God, as happy as he can be serving the Lord. Great preacher. Family is serving the Lord together there in Danbury. And I think about him and many, many, many others. And I think, you know, Brother Joe, you know, God was preparing you when you were in college, some things that you were challenged with and things that you were being tested with, and those trials that you went through and you passed those tests and you stuck through it and you went through the fire and because of that, now you're still serving the Lord, though God has brought great challenge to your life. What we need to realize is what God will do to you and through you this year is to prepare you for what's coming. But one thing you can always remember is this: God is faithful. Because God is faithful, he can be trusted to help you through homesickness. And I'm going to tell you, there's not a girl in this room, there's not a boy in this room that was any more homesick than I was. I cried like a girl every night before I went to bed. I was devastated. I was just sick that I, you know, here I am at Hal's Anderson. Here I am 1,000 miles from home. Nope, Brother Young said nobody from my home church. I don't think there was anybody from my home state of Massachusetts here at college that year. And lonely and scared, frightened. And you know, I read the rule book and it said that we had to witness to someone every week. Man, that scared me to death. I'd never witnessed anybody in my life. I didn't come from a soul-winning church, and I didn't know how to win somebody to Christ, and I was scared, and I was nervous. But I'm going to tell you something. God took care of me, just like God will take care of you, because God can be trusted. He can be trusted. He can be trusted to help you find a job, help you pay your bills. He can be trusted to help you make right decisions about friends and about bus route, dating, in your future. Because God is faithful, he can be trusted to help you finish what you started. Something I had to remind myself over and over and over again as a student at college is that God brought me here for a purpose. He brought me here for a reason. And I don't think I knew what all those reasons were as a student at college. I got on a bus route like many of you are and will this weekend. And I had no idea what I was getting into. I never visited the bus route, never even heard of the bus ministry. I never even heard there was such a thing in ministry like what we have here. But I got on that bus route and I fell in love with it, as Brother Young mentioned. And I thought, man, this is so cool. We're going to Chicago and we're going to this city and we're winning people to Christ and we're bringing boys and girls and teenagers to church and they're coming and they're growing and they're overcoming challenges and their difficulties and we're helping them. And we're seeing them grow and we're seeing fruit and we're seeing some of that fruit remain. And I realized that hey, this is why God brought me here. And he didn't bring me here to quit. He brought me here to finish. And God didn't bring you here to quit. He brought you here to finish what you started, because God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for you while you're here. There's somebody in Chicago. There's somebody in Cicero. There's somebody in Berwyn that you're going to meet this weekend or sometime this year. And you're going to share the gospel with them. And they're going to get saved. And they're going to go to heaven because of you. There's somebody that lives on that bus route that you're going to bring to church, and they're going to come, and they're going to get saved, and maybe one day they'll go to a Christian school, and maybe one day they'll wind up at Bible college, and maybe one day they'll wind up in the ministry serving God with their life. Why? Because God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose. Every year I have to get an allergy shot. That's why my voice is a little bit rough this morning. And so I called the clinic this morning and said, hey, can I come by the office clinic before chapel and get my allergy shot and get that done with, and I'll go to chapel and hopefully not pass out during the message. And they said, sure. So I went in there, and I tell you, it's so crazy, Brother Ray, because the lady that gave me the shot, she's a nurse in our clinic this year. When I was a college student, when I was sitting, I used to sit right back here where those guys back there are talking. No, I'm kidding. But I used to sit right back there, and I was just a college student, just like you. And every Saturday I'd go to the bus route and I would just visit like everybody else did. And later I became a bus captain, and I began to set goals for our route. And I remember one Sunday we wanted to have 200 on our bus route. We ran three buses that day. And I wanted to have 200 so bad. And I remember Brother Ray would encourage us to get consumed with that goal. And so I would sit in chapel or in class and I'd just write 200, 200, 200. I wanted 200 so bad on my route that weekend. And we stayed out on the bus route late that Saturday, and it was 10:30 at night, and we were still knocking on doors, and I knocked on a door, and a lady came, and she didn't speak any English, and I speak very little Spanish, but I can say, Iglesia mañana, a las 8:30. And I showed her the goldfish flyer, and I nodded my head, and she said, sí, and the next day, pulled up in front of her house, and her four daughters got on the bus. They were young people. The youngest was probably about 7 or 8, and the others were 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. And that 11-year-old girl was the girl who just gave me the shot in the office. When Brother Howell said, be good to everybody, because you never know, that little boy that delivers the papers might be the judge one day. Well, I'm glad I was good to her, because she had the needle in her hand just a few minutes ago. You know, God has a purpose for your life. And look, not just while you're in college, but God has a purpose for your future. I think about some of you, I think about your parents that are now pastors and missionaries and soul winners and Sunday school teachers and deacons, and they're winning people to Christ, and they're making an impact, and they're having an influence, and God wants the same for you. God has such a purpose for your life. You know, there's many benefits of being faithful. One is the blessing of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Listen, if you want God to bless you, then be faithful. Just be faithful. Look, you may not have all the charisma and all the personality, and you may not have all the experience that somebody else has, but one thing you can do and you can be is you can be faithful. You can be faithful. You can just show up and be where you're supposed to be, and be in your place, and do what you're supposed to do. And let me tell you something, God will bless you. You know, I went to college with some of the most talented people in the world. Man, they could preach and sing and do all this, and they knew it. And they were proud, and they didn't appreciate or think that they had to be faithful, because they thought that their talents would carry them through. And the truth is, they're not even serving God today. And some of the guys that I knew we just showed up. You know, we weren't flashy, and we weren't trying to make a name for ourselves. We were just trying to do the right thing and just be where we're supposed to be and do what we're supposed to do. And you know, a lot of my friends and guys I went to school with are still doing the exact same thing. Because the Bible says that he'll bless a faithful man. Not only will God bless you, but he'll also add responsibility. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible says that I gave my brother Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. Listen, it says, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. You know, God will increase your responsibility if you'll learn to be a faithful person. I remember I came here as a freshman, and back then, our junior church, one of our junior churches was in the main auditorium, which is now the Jack Kyles Auditorium with our Spanish meet. And Brother Young was the junior church preacher. And it was my job to just sit among the kids. We, as workers, we would just sit with the kids and make sure they were behaving and just kind of participate in the program with them. But then I got promoted. And someone asked me if I would be a door guard. And I thought, wow, this is, I was wondering if I'd get paid for it, but I never saw the paycheck. But I was promoted to be a door guard. And so my job was to stand at the back of the auditorium, make sure no kids left or came in at the wrong time. And I thought I was all that, man. I'm a door guard at First Baptist Church. But I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, that was my job. And you know, every week I would show up. Every week I would guard that door. And you know, the honest truth is, it wasn't, you know, Brother Young never, and I'm still disappointed, but he never mentioned my name as being the best door guard in junior church. But you know, that was my job. And I was faithful to that job. But you know, Brother Ray, I remember the day when, and it was probably a couple years later, 3 or 4 years later, I don't remember, but you called me in and said, hey, Brother John, I want you to help me on the platform and give out the quiet seat prize. And then I thought, man, I have really hit the jackpot. Because now I'm going to be on the platform, and now I'm going to be watching for the best girl and the best boy that's going to win the picture of George Washington. Man, I went out and bought a new suit coat, a sport coat, because I didn't have a nice sport coat. And I thought, man, if I'm going to be this person to find the best girl and the best boy, I better get me a newer sport coat. And I thought that was the biggest thing ever. And I was not only the best door guard, but I was the best man to ever look for the best girl and the best boy in junior church. But you know what? Every week I showed up. Every week I did my job. Every week I just did what I was told. You know, it wasn't long after that when Brother Young called me in after I graduated from college and I was on staff, and he said, now I want you to preach in junior church. I want you to be the preacher. And I'm going to tell you something. I, at that moment, I really thought I hit the jackpot. And I thought, every week I'm going to stand before hundreds of boys and girls and preach the gospel to them and watch them get saved. And I can tell you this, countless young people, kids, boys and girls walked the aisle and trusted Christ as their Savior. I can tell you stories of some that are serving God today who got saved in that junior church. And I just decided, you know, I may not be flashy. I may not have all the talents and all the abilities that everybody else has, but it doesn't matter. Because one thing I can do is I can be faithful. I can show up, and I can do what I'm supposed to do. Let me move on quickly. The third benefit of being faithful is to hear God commend us. Matthew 25, verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. There's not a greater statement that I want to hear God say than for him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It doesn't say, well done, thou good and talented servant. It doesn't say, well done, thou good and flashy servant. It doesn't say, well done, thou good and funny servant. It says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. God will commend you for your faithfulness. The sad reality is, a faithful man is hard to find. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Who can find? You know, there is something about just being where you're supposed to be and doing what you're supposed to do and just doing that for a long, long time. Just to be faithful. Every day for 40 years, a man named Frank Jenner gave out tracts and witnessed for Christ to at least 10 people on George Street in Sydney, Australia, every day. 40 years, 10 people a day. 2 weeks before his death, a man came to visit him and shared story after story of people that had been saved and were serving God all over the world because of his gospel witness. And don't miss this. Frank Jenner told that man, in over 40 years of doing this, I have never heard of one single person coming to know Christ. And 2 weeks later, he passed away. But he was a faithful man. I want to challenge you this morning to do two things. Number one, I want to challenge you to trust God because he is faithful. Number two, I want to challenge you to be found faithful. Be faithful to spend time with God. Be faithful to your Bible and to your prayer life. Be faithful to your classes. Be faithful to your ministry. Be faithful to your job. Be a man, be a young lady who is found to be faithful. Father, I pray that you'd help us as we close this chapel hour. And our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and I wonder how many would say, Brother John, pray for me. I want to be found faithful. I may not be all that. I don't have all the talent that others have. I don't have all the abilities, but one thing I can do is I can be faithful. I wonder how many of you would raise your hand and say, pray for me. I want to be found faithful. Would you raise your hand all over the room? Would you find your place at your chair or maybe at the altar? And why don't you make a decision this morning to do two things. Number one, to trust God because he's worthy of your trust, because he's a faithful God. And would you decide today that you're going to be found faithful?